Thank you for listening to Breakthrough Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message brought to you by John Crumpton. For more podcasts, news, and other events, please visit breakthroughlife.co.za.
Amen, amen, amen. Wow, wow, wow. Aren't we in the most marvelous time of our lives? We had a spectacular evening together on Friday as we came to honor Jesus for the cross. And just loved that there was this time of extended being in His presence and receiving from Him as we interacted through communion. That was just absolutely magnificent. And then we had a whole group of people getting water baptized this morning between the first and the second service. And that was just absolutely glorious. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But that's just amazing, right? Isn't that amazing? Thank you. I just wasn't sure if I was in the correct congregation this morning. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached about the cross. And in response to the cross, people got baptized in water, as well as baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two separate things. But this big thing about water baptism and the cross, my goodness, it's amazing. So we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. But we had just the last few weeks, you can just feel the Holy Spirit moving powerfully. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the worship just continued, and I mean, there was no preaching. Not that anyone complained. But the sense in that we're here for Him and that He's moving powerfully in our midst and that our hearts are being opened, we are increasing in our sensitivity to Him and what He's doing. And this is absolutely glorious. And then last weekend, a whole number, 64 of the folk here from Breakthrough went off to a weekend retreat, camp, conference. And for the younger folk, not the youth, so the younger folk, so young adults, 19 to 35, although I did think one or two squeaked in, you know. But just watching a generation come alive to the purposes of God and being encouraged in the Holy Spirit that we are here to live for Him and to make a difference in this world. And that He's giving to us the power of the Spirit that we can live a victorious life. We're not victims, we're victors. Because He's the ultimate victor, and because we're in Him, we also are victorious. So we're actually just feeling this whole thing that's playing out among us. We have just this amazing sense like this is it. These are times of revival. People are being renewed and revived, and you can feel that there's an increase in spiritual hunger and passion and enthusiasm. Yay! You know, so I mean, the worship Friday night, the worship again this morning, just like flat out. Wasn't that amazing? Yeah? You guys are amazing. Come on, give yourselves a round of applause. Yeah. So the Lord is stirring things, and He has a great time, even as we said at the beginning of the year, when the Lord is doing something, recognize, discern, and go with what He's doing. Lean into it, because what He's doing, He's making available, and so we need to reach out and receive it, appropriate it for ourselves. Don't just let it pass by, kind of like, oh, that was nice, little golf clap. But actually, we need to stir ourselves and jump into what He's doing. So if the Lord is stirring people's hearts and there's this whole passion that's busy being displayed in worship, you know what? Let's jump in on it. Instead of like, you know, yeah, I wonder how long this is going to take. No, no, no. That is the real deal. Yeah? And we have this opportunity now to engage with what's going on in the heavenly realms where there's worship night and day, day and night. Apparently, they don't worry about clocks there. Yeah. But there's this thing of His worthiness And all of the, you know, the 24 elders, they're taking their crowns and they're just like throwing them at Jesus' feet. And they're saying, "You're worthy." And they're just like, the refrain just goes on and on. And he's holy, separated, totally other than. He's like way above. That's the whole thing of holy. Yeah. Holy isn't like, oh, you behave yourself. No, no, the original meaning of holy is to be separated for, totally devoted, other, different. And of course, Jesus is totally above, different from all the rest of creation. And so holy and all of the angelic realm and the hosts that are there and those who've gone before us, they're there and they're just worshiping. And they're worshiping in the place of perfection. No tears, no pain, no crying. Everything is good. No potholes. The roads are made from gold. No potholes. Everything is great and they can worship. Oh my goodness, how much more precious in the place of all of our pain, the place of our difficulty, confusion sometimes, having to contend with obstacles, all these different things. And even in the midst of that, we gather up and we bring ourselves as worship. See, when we're in that heavenly realm, too late, too late. The opportunity is lost. Because they will worship as like, I mean, it's just like you can't stop yourself. Here, we get to bring that sacrifice of praise and of worship. It costs you something. And that's what makes it so beautiful and precious. So when you're in a gathering and you can just feel there's a surge, there's like the current is flowing, it's like jump in. Go a little harder. Go a little further. Go a little deeper. Go a little higher. Sing a little louder. Dance on your chairs if you must. Apparently it's okay. Seen it with my own eyes. But let's just give him the honor that's due his name. Because there is only one who's worthy. Yeah? And it's like the Holy Spirit is giving us an opportunity to actually accelerate and take it to another level. So here's, you know, the perfect opportunity for us to jump in even more so. And that's what I want to encourage us to do. Yeah? As you turn to Romans chapter 6. Because what I want to share in terms of a message this morning is going to be hopefully a little compact. We had a time on Friday of focusing on the cross. As the cross is the symbol that everyone identifies as being the moment where world history changed. It was the cross. Now, it wasn't that no one else had been crucified. I mean, it was the Roman way of executing people. And many tens of thousands of people had been killed on a cross. So it wasn't that the only person to ever be crucified was Jesus. Remember, there were two crosses on either side of Jesus. All right? What had they done? They were criminals. Okay? So it was the way of dishing out punishment to criminals. Jesus was not a criminal. But my point is, that the cross had been used many times before and was used again many times afterwards. But it's the cross of Jesus that signifies the shift and the change in all of human history. So the cross is that one symbol. The other symbol, which our creative people need to design, you know, because it's, you know, people hang around their neck, you know, the sign of the cross. But if you could just create something that looks like an open tomb, the stone rolled away, you know, a little brooch or something. Because that's actually even more powerful than the symbol of the cross. Without the cross, there was no sacrifice, and Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, the only one sinless, the only one who could pay the price. No human could pay the price because we're born of Adam's race. And Adam and Eve in the garden, the place of perfection, they rebelled against God and they fell, they sinned. And we in the human race, born into rebellion, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to rebel against God. And so no human could have been a sacrifice, could have paid the price, as it were, because of covenant. And the whole picture through all of the Old Testament is that blood must be shed for a covenant to be made. But there was a second Adam. His name is Jesus. And he came born of above. Yeah? Just as Adam was created supernaturally, Jesus, born of a virgin, created supernaturally. First Adam fell. The second Adam rose again. And so Jesus was able to pay the price that we should have paid. As the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. In other words, the consequence for our individual rebellion, our sin, we should have been put to death. But Jesus went to the cross in our place. Yeah? Let's turn now to Romans chapter 6, and it's going to be this beautiful explanation of what went on for each one of us on the cross. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Okay, so Paul is busy like addressing this thing like, you know what? Actually, the more I carry on rolling around in the mud, I'm just causing God's grace to increase. So I'm doing God a favor by sinning more. That's warped logic, but that's what some people end up doing. It's kind of, well, you know, if I'm forgiven, if there's grace, then, you know, let me sin more so that God's grace might be shown to be even more powerful. And he says, no, you guys have got this back to front. The response is not to sin more. The response is to stop sinning. Okay? By no means, verse 2, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Oh, come on. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. In other words, it was rendered powerless. So that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Just pause here quickly. Because of being born through Adam, the human race, we had a sinful nature. And that nature was in rebellion against God. But that old nature, if you're a believer now, is referring, as he's writing to the Romans and explaining what happened during your salvation. And he's saying, listen, in your salvation, as you came to believe in Christ, and as a result of that, you went through the waters of baptism, what was happening is that the waters of baptism was representing something that happened on the inside. It's not just an external washing, as 1 Peter 3 says. It's not just the washing away of external dirt. It's actually something that's happening on the inside. And so on the inside, your old sinful nature was nailed to the cross, was crucified with Christ. You have identified with his death. And as you're going into the waters, you're identifying with his death, his burial. Sometimes you hold them down a little bit long. Are you really dead? No, just teasing. And then we raise to a new life. We're identifying with his resurrection. What's the resurrection? What has come to life? Our spirit has been made alive to God. That's what's happened. Yeah? So that the blockage of sin has been dealt away with, and the spirit that is now alive to God, we can be with him forever. Let's read and let's see it here. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Okay? Remember, it was saying that we were slaves to sin. All right? Sin had mastery over us. But because we died, we who were slaves to sin, we died to sin. So sin, which was like a slave master over us, well, we're dead to that slave master. So that slave master no longer controls us. Awesome. Now, when we raised, we have a new master, Jesus. He's a good one. The devil, a bad master. Jesus, a good master. All right? Let's go from verse 8 again. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. All right. In the same way that Jesus is alive to God, count it to yourselves. Reckon it. Figure this out. Apply it into your lives that you too are alive to God. The resurrection life that was in Jesus is in you. So you no longer have to live for sin. Now you get to live for eternal life. Oh my goodness. The cross dealt with the old nature. Dead. On the cross. Done away with. Rendered powerless, has no more mastery over us. Yay. Yay for the cross. Thank you for the cross. And that's where we were when we gathered on Friday. We were saying, wow, Lord, the price you paid. Thank you for the cross. But hallelujah. There's also Sunday. The resurrection. You see, it takes the resurrection for us to be made alive in Christ. That we too might live a victorious life. That we can be with Him, which is heaven. Yeah, we're no longer rejected or ostracized or kept out. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're now included. We've been invited. So because He made a way, Hebrews says we can now come with confidence and boldness before the very throne of God. And we can receive grace and we can receive mercy in our time of need. Come on, every single one of us living here in Joyburg needs help. We're living in times of need. But hallelujah, we're not alone. We don't have to figure this out on our own. We can come to Him. Here's the beautiful thing. With this eternal life, the eternal life starts the moment you put your faith, your trust, your confidence in Jesus. Some people incorrectly think eternal life will only begin when you die in terms of your physical body. So, like, you know, when I die, then I will be in the afterlife and then I will be with Him. That's heaven. Truth is, Scripture says, we're seated with Christ currently in heavenly places. We have access into the heavenly realms. All right? And so, eternity begins now. Yay. So, we're not looking forward only to that day. We're looking forward to every day. Because every day is a day of victory, of walking and living with Him and for Him in resurrection power. So we reckon this just as Christ lived to God, so we too now can live for a God. Can I invite you to stand? So, in a moment, we're actually going to take some time just to worship the Lord one more time. And we're just going to recognize that He's called us to live and be in eternal life, that heavenly realm, even right now. And we're going to sing something that's called the Hymn of Heaven as we celebrate early. We celebrate it even before it happens. While you're still alive in the body, we begin to celebrate that realm. Can I ask you to just close your eyes with me as we pray together? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the price that you paid. We thank you that it was a perfect sacrifice, that you paid it all, and that you set us free. And that as we recognize that we too, the old man, was nailed, crucified to the cross with you. And as we believe that, so too we know and we can believe that we will be included with you in resurrection. That we have access and openness, the open doorway. The way has been made open. It's a new and a living way. Jesus is the way. that we can come to you. I want to encourage you, if you've never asked Jesus to take away from you your sin and your shame, your guilt, that old, terrible person who lived in rebellion towards God, that you would come, in a sense, to the cross and allow the great mysterious exchange to take place. Where on the cross, as you identify with Jesus, as you believe in Him and put your faith and trust in Him, that your old sinful nature nailed to the cross, that you don't have to die. And in exchange, He gives to you new life in God. Resurrection life, that your spirit is made alive to God in and through Christ Jesus. Say, I believe. I believe. I receive. Thank you, Jesus, that you made it possible. That you redeemed me. That all my sins have been removed, not just covered, but have been removed because of the power of the covenant of your blood. Everything removed. And now it's as though I'd never sinned. I can be made righteous and perfect because of what you have done. I receive your righteousness. I receive your forgiveness. And I choose this day, I'm not going to serve that old master, sin and the devil. But I choose to serve you, Jesus. You are master. You are Lord. You are my King. And I choose to live for you from this day forward. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can experience something of that realm of glory and of heaven even right now, right here. So we begin right in this moment to celebrate. Heaven was made for me. Heaven was made for me. Heaven's coming for me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Perhaps what we could do is we could just lift our hands as a sign of our surrender to Him. I give you my life. I give you my all. I give you my future. I give you my past. I give you my future. I give you my everything. Lord of heaven, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Redeemer. And I look forward to seeing you face to face. To thank you in the nearness of your presence for the cross and for the resurrection. Oh, we praise you. Can you just begin to give Him thanks and praise, even in your own words? Just begin to praise Him. Just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for new life. Thank you for hope in you. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for a glorious future. Thank you, thank you. Everything is changed. Everything is new. Hallelujah. for all eternity. For all eternity, praises, 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 praises.